You have arrived at your destination.
This is Jason Alon from the Fever 333, and you're listening to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. Boy.
That's right, Wildlings. Another exciting episode of Sean vs. Wild is coming to you right now. You know what time it is. It's time to rock and roll all night and podcast every Tuesday right here with me, your host, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. And guys, thanks so much for tuning in to the number two music podcast, at least at some point in the United States. The United States is so awesome. Of course, that pretty much makes me the number two podcast in the world. But if you ask Leo Weekly, I'm like number four or five in Louisville. So who knows, guys? Louisville's got to have a great podcast scene, apparently. But yeah, whoa, dude, that sounded really, yours sounded really bitter. You're becoming a bitter old man, Sean. What's up? That's just the Sean VS Wild character coming out, guys. But yeah, I love you guys so much. Thanks so much for tuning in. And speaking of people that I love so much, dude, I got Nick Dittmeyer back in the Smithsonian for another conversation with me today. Dude, one of the cool things about the podcast is Nick and I, for example, had not talked for about 10 years before he came on the podcast the first time. Now we're texting each other, we're hanging out, we're having wings and salads together. And today we're going to sit down over a Coke Zero and a LaCroix, if you will, to discuss a bunch of awesome stuff. This is a great conversation. Most importantly, we are here because his brand new album, All Damn Day, is releasing on October 26th. Via Eastwood Records. October 26th is a big day because not only is the album coming out, but he's got a huge album release show at the Odeon right here in Louisville, Kentucky. So make sure that you're there for that. Also, the music video for his new single, which we will listen to today on the podcast, it's called Love Me Like You Did. The music video will drop on October 26th as well. So a huge day. We're going to be talking all about that. A lot of the stuff that we're talking about this week, I can't even tell you about in the intro. Yeah, that's right. Controversy, mystique, intrigue, whatever. You have to listen to find out about all the hilarious stuff that we're talking about. But we're having a great conversation today. And also, guys, I want to say last week I might have jinxed myself because I was like, dude, yeah, apparently it's Halloween season. Apparently it's October. It's still 90 degrees. Boy, did that come back to bite me because as of this moment, I refuse to turn my furnace on, guys. Refuse. So I'm doing this intro with several layers of clothes on and a jacket and right here in my house. So I'm going to just stick it out, dude. Stick it out until I absolutely have to kick the heat on here at the Smithsonian. So yeah, jinxed myself. Fall is now actually in full force. Or maybe I just Nostradamus'd it, dude. Maybe I just predicted it. Can you believe it? Somebody predicted it might be cold in October soon. So what can you do? Guys, yeah, dude, hope you're having an excellent week. I'm having an awesome week, per usual. And make sure that you go and check out the album release show for Nick Dittmeyer. I actually just checked an awesome show out on Sunday. My boys in Foxbat, Ultima Synthwave, which I've had Levi on before with Order of Leviathan. And dude, you got to check out Ultima Synthwave if you have not. That is my first recommendation for this week. Check out Ultima Synthwave. It is absolutely awesome. Number two recommendation, if you haven't yet, go check out Foxbat Live. Amazing show. Absolutely love it. And they're going to be playing a lot coming up. They have a very busy tour schedule, like a local schedule going up here in the next month or so. So definitely make sure that you do that. Number three recommendation, of course, buy the brand new album, All Damn Day, by Nick Dittmeyer and the Sawdusters, when that comes out on October 26th. Also, recommendation, I've been reading the hell out of these Stephen King books again, dude. So my recommendation is just go to a bookstore, buy a book, sit down, and read it. It will change your life. Get a tangible book. Or, even better, guys, get an audiobook from Audible. Check out that seamless segue, guys. Not to be confused with those like scooters that you ride around on. This segue was absolutely seamless. go to audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild and take advantage of a complimentary audiobook on me just because you listen to this show. That's right, audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild. You're going to get a free 30 days, and you're also going to choose from over 180,000 audiobooks, guys. So get a book of your choice, give it a listen. If you don't like it, you can return it and get another audiobook, still keep the books that you have. You don't have to keep it more than 30 days if you don't want to. Just find out what the hype is all about, guys. Audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild. And every time you do that, they're going to send me a gigantic Publisher's Clearinghouse, huge Happy Gilmore check, all right, for like $15 or something like that. Every time you do that, they're going to send it to me, and I'm going to be able to keep the lights on right here at the Smithsonian. I'm also going to have a huge collection of used cashed big checks if anybody wants a great prop for Halloween. But yeah, guys, definitely check out Audible. Audibletrial.com/SeanVersusWild. Check out audiophileinc.com. Get your shirts printed. A lot of people are always asking me, where do you get your awesome merch printed? These shirts are so soft. These shirts are so awesome. Yeah, they are awesome. Yeah, they are soft. And I'm getting them printed at the best place you could possibly get them done. That's audiophileinc.com. Go to Shane. He's been printing my stuff for over a decade. He can print your stuff. T-shirts, hooded sweatshirts, zip-up sweatshirts, whatever you want. Crew necks. I got crew necks and Sean versus Wild. Check those out. The Cobra Kai logo. Got them on sale. $30. Make it happen. But yeah, he can do the same for you. Just go to audiophileinc.com. Shane will give you the best deal in town, no matter what town you live in. That's right. He ships to all 50 nifty United States. Just tell him the Wild Man sent you. He will get you set up. Also, huge recommendation to close out the show. Check out Joe Brock. That dude, he can do no wrong. Foxbat, awesome. This podcast, awesome. You know, the guy's got it going on. He can make your band sound like $1 million. He can make your podcast sound like $1 million. Or in my case, I like to say he makes me sound like $100 every single week. Joe, I appreciate it very much, man. Thank you for all that you do. Guys, we are getting so close to the 100th episode. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. 99 episodes into this thing. So yeah, I appreciate everything so much. And yeah, next week is big number 100. So I'll see you next week for number 100. But for right now, Nick Dittmeyer back in the Smithsonian coming at you. And you know what time it is, dude. It's time to get wild. Also, I said earlier it was time to rock and roll night and podcast every Tuesday. So you got a lot going on. You have a lot of things on your list of things to do. So guys, enough from me. Let's get wild. Okay, so before we get started here, you know, we did bring up the fact that I have a cousin that does at one point had drink 50 beers, and then we were talking about Andre the Giant, as of course you do in the morning at two p.m. You got to talk about Andre the Giant. But yeah, if you haven't, listeners, watched the documentary, you definitely have to check it out. But dude, you watched it. I watched it. How crazy is it just like the Andre the Giant drinking stories?
Hell yeah. Yeah, they were crazy.
It's like, oh yeah, this man's going to sit down and drink 96 beers and like four or five bottles of wine.
Yeah, he outdrank Ric Flair.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Just by sheer, like the fact that he's 500 pounds.
Yeah.
And a legit 7'4", because we had to look it up.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, do you think it was like one of those things in the documentary? It seemed like he probably was of normal height for quite a while, and then it just seemed like he just
shut up. Yeah,
it was
like a giantism thing or like genetic disorder.
My big thing about Andre the Giant that I remember as a kid is just like it seemed like he had like multiple rows of teeth, like shark teeth. Something about him seems like he has a shark tooth mouth.
He had dolphin teeth.
Thousands upon thousands of dolphinic teeth. But yeah, that's the secret to drinking 96 beers. Also, speaking of professional wrestling, because it was a 1-2 punch of Andre and Hogan, you got to tell the listeners what you told me, because my mind is blown.
Did you read the article?
I haven't read it yet, but tell the listeners what that article is.
From my understanding, and we can post this on the website if we want to as a companion piece.
We absolutely have to.
The companion piece to this interview is, I believe in the mid-2000s, Hulk Hogan made a highlight reel of him playing bass. And because at the time, the Rolling Stones and Metallica were both absent a bass player. Bill Wyman had retired from the Rolling Stones, and Jason Newsted had quit Metallica. And so apparently Hulk Hogan made a highlight reel and sent it to the management of both the bands. And Didn't hear anything back about it and didn't really understand why.
Did so, brother?
Yeah. Brother.
Did you get my tape, brother? Did you get my demo tape? What the best part about that story is we live in a world where it was not outside of the realm of possibility that Hulk Hogan could have been the bass player for Metallica. Could you imagine that? Could you, maybe they would be better.
Yeah.
Saint Anger would just be a killer record. Because it's just going to be the Hulkster right there behind the bass.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What would you do if you went to see the Rolling Stones? Like if you were like Drake. You remember Drake that with the studio? The red-haired Drake that loved the Rolling Stones and he had like all
He had
all the bootlegs and everything. What if you were somebody like Drake and you go and you see the Stones and you probably paid, I don't know, $900 for your ticket and the Hulkster comes out?
And plays bass. I don't know. Yeah, man.
Plays an American flag bass. You know he's wearing red spandex with cowboy boots.
Yeah. Or he might just try to fit in, be like one of the guys.
Yeah, you know, just a casual blender inner in the background. Mm-hmm. Nobody will know he's there. He's like when Randy Jackson was like in Journey, you know?
Yeah. He played bass for a lot of bands.
And he just casually blended into the background. You never knew he was there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If the Sawdusters is ever down a bass player, dude, you know that the Hulkster's got your back.
Yeah. That's true, too. Yeah, well, did you ever see the, or know about the Hulk Hogan Bubba the Love Sponge stuff, too?
Oh, yeah, where he, like, banged his wife or something?
Yeah, he, like, knowingly, he was, like, a, was he the shock DJ, too, that tried to, from in Florida, he was going to burn a Quran on the air and, like, caused, a, like, a big stir about it? I think that was Bubba the Love Sponge.
I mean, it probably had to be, because what else would, I mean, why do we know the name Bubba the Love Sponge?
Because of the Hulk Hogan. He got Hulk Hogan to bang his wife, and he watched. I think he at least taped it. He knew.
Got cucked by Hulk Hogan.
By Hulk Hogan.
Cuck Hogan, dude.
And, so he, they.
Yeah, for listeners out there, the Hulkster does have.
A sex tape.
And from what I've heard, he's just like, afterwards, he's like, ugh. Shouldn't have ate all that Mexican food.
Did he say that really?
Yes, apparently he does. Dude, it's going to be right up there with the Gene Simmons one. Apparently Gene Simmons has one also. And what's great about that is he's just like wearing a t-shirt the whole time. And he's just like trying to kiss this girl who's like obviously like not even going to allow Gene Simmons to like.
Is she passed out?
No.
Okay.
No, she's just like some girl. That's, you know, whatever for Gene Simmons. And like, he's like trying to like kiss her and she's just like turning her face away. And I'm like, she probably just set this camera up to make a couple million dollars.
Yeah.
Basically.
Wow.
A planned, you know, that's the secret to success, Nick. I don't know if you've ever thought about going down that avenue.
Sex tape.
Yeah. Be like, Nick's caught here. next on TMZ.
Well, have you ever seen the Chuck Berry stuff too?
I've heard about Chuck Berry, like, being crazy, like, filming people at his, like, casino or whatever in the bathroom.
Well, no, it was, like, a little amusement park that he had, but there's also, because I'd read, before he died in Rolling Stone, he did an interview, and he talked about he had, like, several hard drives full of porn, homemade porn that he made, but some of those tapes came out, they're on YouTube now, of, like, him, he, like, pees on people, like, in a hot tub, like, girls in a hot tub.
And that's on YouTube?
Yeah.
You mean like it's not on like, some sort of.
No. It's so grainy. It's
it's taken from a Motorola Razr.
No, it would have been a full on camcorder tripod situation, but I'll show it to you.
Professional later. Setup. Oh, yeah. I can't wait.
I'll change your mind.
Guys, this isn't just the Hollywood Sex Tape podcast. This is actually the Sean versus Wild podcast. And thank you guys for joining us here today. I've got Nick Dittmeyer back in the studio, round two. What's up, Nick?
Hello.
Man. So we're meeting up together, 2 p.m. in the afternoon. I've got my Polar Pop. He's got his La Croix.
Oh, yeah.
Ready to go. And we're here to talk to you. You guys loved Nick on the show the first time, so you're going to love him again the second time. He's got a brand new album out. We're going to be talking all kinds of stuff today. First off, though, Nick, let me ask you, have you always been a La Croix drinker? Because I feel like it's a soda that has been around since I was a youth. And I never saw anybody drink it until, like, the past year.
Yeah. Well, I looked this up because they're getting sued right now. So Faygo, the company that makes Faygo and Shasta, makes LaCroix. Because on it says Michigan. And I was a few months ago, I saw that and I was like, I bet it gets bottled like at Faygo or what. And I was right on that. But so they're getting sued, and I looked it up. And they actually started like in 81 or something like that. But I don't ever remember seeing it until 3-4 years ago. But I became a big LaCroix fan. I call it LaCroix for a long time, and then people just started making me say LaCroix. But so I'm into all the flavors. And Ben's Bargain Center and Jeff had a big close out of it, and I bought like $40 worth of all these assorted LaCroix flavors. But I'm gonna tell you what made me really go into overdrive of drinking a lot of LaCroix is smoking so much weed. Because if you are high, like I get them and I pour them over ice, and I get them like ice cold, like, and just chill and drink LaCroix when I'm super baked, and it's the most refreshing drink in the world when I do that. So
listeners, let that be a recommendation to you.
Yeah.
From Nick. The first person that I ever knew that ever had LaCroix, I don't like to call it LaCroix, I just call it...
Yeah, I just call it LaCroix because everybody else did, and I look like an asshole if I don't just do that. Yeah,
exactly. It's a lose-lose situation, because you might look like an asshole for not pronouncing it correctly, but then you also are an asshole for saying LaCroix.
Yeah, because I was corrected by a Dutch stewardess recently, could call it LaCroix, but you know, whatever the fuck. You know.
Yeah, who cares? This is America.
Yeah,
Hulk Hogan could be the bass player for Metallica. I'll have you know that. But yeah, the first person that I ever knew that had, and this probably will not surprise you, but Ryan Davis.
Not at all.
Back in the day, 2004.
He drank those?
They had LaCroix at their house. That and, ginger ale. What's the brand of ginger ale that's popular?
Schweppes.
Yeah, Schweppes.
Or Canada Dry.
Canada Dry. Okay. That's definitely it.
Yeah.
Ginger ale, easily my least favorite ale.
I just remember it from... my grandmother used to get the Big K diet ginger ales. That's what I remember. Like, they would drink ginger ale. And recently, my grandfather, when he was in a nursing home, they had Fanta on. Mm. They had a whole Fanta machine. Fanta, whatever the fuck. They had ginger ale on tap at the nursing home.
I didn't... That sounds like a pretty ballin' nursing home. I didn't even know Fanta had anything but orange and strawberry.
No, they've got any color. They've got a soda. Every color.
If there is a color in the rainbow that is the same color of a soda, it is there.
If it's a bright color, they've put it in a bottle. I don't know what the flavors are supposed to be, but...
You know, ginger ale, though, probably is a... like I said, it's my least favorite of the ales.
Yeah.
But you can put that up against grape soda. I'm also, like, as a kid, I loved grape soda. Now if I have a grape soda, I'm like, I'm going to have weird poops and my stomach is going to hurt
really
for a day.
What about Ale 8? Would you drink Ale 8 or is that...
No, that's ginger ale to me.
Okay. All right.
It's just, Ale 8 lovers out there, I know there's plenty of you listening, but to me, it's just like ginger ale. And something about ginger ale gives me heartburn out the yin-yang.
Okay. I mean, I could see if you were like a bourbon and ginger ale kind of if you could do that, that kind of makes sense, mixing those flavors. But I agree with you, man. I'm just not going to chill and drink a ginger. I might go do that after this.
Right after this,
experiments on myself.
We're going to get some... After this, we're going to get some ice. We're going to pour some ginger ale over it.
Yeah.
Just get baked and see what happens.
Yeah. I've got this drug dealer in my life, and I'm not going to ever give... If any of the listeners are out there, I will not tell who this person is. I will not give his phone number out, but people know him as Johnny Smoke, and he...
And his phone number is...
And I'm waiting on a text, because he delivers to my home in my mailbox, and I don't know him. I don't know what he looks like. I don't know his name, but I text him, and then the weed comes into my mailbox. I put the money out there. So that's my project for today that I'm working.
It's like the Uber Eats.
It is.
I'm drug dealing.
It really is, man.
It's like the Uber of drug dealing. I don't know if you're like in the business, it's always like, oh, this is like the Uber of something. Like that's such a common phrase, like a business jargon. They'll be like, oh yeah, it's like the Uber of podcasting. Sean versus Wild is like the Uber of podcasting.
Or Lyft.
Yeah.
Is there like a Kmart? Is there like a third one?
I don't know. It should be the Lyft.
A taxi.
He's like the Faygo. Yeah. He's like the taxi of podcasting.
Yeah.
But how funny is that LaCroix and Faygo are basically the same thing?
Yeah. Well,
for like upscale juggalos, dude.
That's what I said. I posted that literally on Facebook yesterday. And that's okay because... you know, did you see the Fred Durst, the Shaggy 2-Dub try to dropkick Fred Durst this week?
I have been hearing about this video all week, and I haven't watched it yet.
Let me save you some time. It sucks, okay?
It sucks.
He misses. He gets punked out by Fred Durst, really. Fred Durst calls him a pussy because he's on stage, and I think Fred Durst is wearing, like, an explorer's hat and pajama pants and has, like, a beard now. And Shaggy 2-Dub, it was in New Jersey, and he misses. He tries to drop kick him, and he misses. And Fred Durst just goes, "Nice try, pussy," and then just goes on with the song.
Was this like a setup thing?
I don't think so. I could be wrong in that, but I don't think they. I don't know.
What Fred Durst is like? All right, guys, I'm going to be relevant again. Shaggy 2-Dub, you drop kick me.
Like, who do I know to make me relevant?
Yeah. Probably the clowns.
The clowns.
I have to call in the clowns on this one.
But I don't know if you remember this, but Limp Bizkit, when Wes Borland quit the band in the was it early to mid 2000s, they through Guitar World magazine, I think it was, they had a search to find a new guitar player, and I knew the guy that won lived in Louisville. I can't remember what his name was, but he lived with a guy that I was in a band with, and I think he was from Eastern Kentucky or something, but he was briefly in Limp Bizkit. And I think, but I could be wrong in this, but I surmise it was just kind of a publicity stunt Limp Bizkit did, because Wes Borland came back pretty soon after the contest was over.
I'll need to get this guy for the podcast.
I'll find him.
Dude, we got to find him.
Yeah.
Guitarist, Limp Bizkit guitarist. I need you for the Sean vs. Wild podcast. The lift of podcasts. You're going to love it. It's going to be crazy. Could you imagine? You should have tried out, man. Could you imagine if you were on that Limp Bizkit ticket?
No, I don't think I could have done it. No way. I don't know.
Yeah, because Fred Durst will probably be like, "Look, man, you got to do this my way. My way or the highway."
He's like, "You're going to have to play
my
DJ Shadow.
The highway."
He's like, "You're going to have to vibe with DJ Shadow, or this isn't going to work out. You're going to play. You guys have to play off of each other."
Was that their DJ?
I think so. I don't know how I know all this stuff, man.
I don't think it was DJ Shadow. I think it was, oh, man, of course. You put me on the spot, but Shadow doesn't seem right. It's a guy from House of Pain. You know what? It's 2018. We're going to have to look this up.
Yeah.
In the meantime, listeners, if you know who it was, you just go ahead and hit us up here at SeanVersusWild@gmail.com. We're going to figure this out pretty damn quick.
Okay, so I am going to get weed today. Okay. Jonathan.
Back to the matter at hand.
It's going to be a little later, but you know, I'm not, you know.
It is what it is. It's DJ, what is his name?
DJ
He's from House of Pain.
Was he really?
Yeah, Jump Around. And I feel like they've said his name a million times in their music. Anyway, Shaggy 2-Dub missed a dropkick to Limp Bizkit. The funny thing about that, too, is you're like, yeah, he's wearing pajama pants. And I was going to be like, oh, man, how desperate. But I'm in my refusal to turn on the furnace here at the Smithsonian, I, too, am wearing pajama pants.
You ready for it? DJ Lethal.
DJ Lethal. That's
DJ Shadow, sir.
That's exactly what it is. I knew it was something. But, yeah, Limp Bizkit, dude.
Every now and then I'll like go to a record store and see stuff on vinyl. That was pressed, I guess, in the late 90s, early 2000s, and I'll see Limp Bizkit 180-gram vinyl or Korn. I was like, who the fuck was buying that, though, man? I mean,
I would imagine that Limp Bizkit would be on vinyl, pressed on vinyl, just simply because they had a DJ in the band.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Might be like the only thing. You know, I've been wanting to
see. I don't know what that means.
That might be the only reason why, like the only logical explanation. Like, well, they got a DJ in the band.
Yeah.
We better press this.
But do you think
he'll
that guy
probably
was
need
using
some backup copies of
what,
the,
do you think that guy was using vinyl back there to?
I don't know.
I don't know how that worked.
I have no idea. Dude, we'll have to refer to that. We'll have to refer to that outdoor festival you keep sending me links to with Lit and Kid Rock.
Yeah,
we'll see if the Bizkit's on there. We'll
I don't know how that worked or what kind of albums he would have been playing back there scratching on or what. I don't know what he would have been doing, to be honest with you.
I have no idea.
I don't think much. I'm gonna go
probably headbanging, you know, probably that old thing.
When times got tough for the band, he was the first guy to let go.
Yeah, they're probably like, look, we have to make some cuts.
Yeah,
fiscally we got to make some cuts.
It's like
here.
You're just back there playing recorded music. We're playing the live music. What's going on? This feels like a clash.
That's like Slipknot. They had like nine members, and you know they've lost some members over the years. One died, and then
did somebody die from the band?
Yeah,
okay.
Number two, the guy with the pig mask, he died.
How did he
die?
The
bass player. I don't know. I don't want to say
frostbite.
Yeah, he opened a Polar Pop in this weather. Frostbite. I think I would say it's probably drugs. But you know how most rock stars die, if I had to guess. But their drummer left. Joey Jordison, he left also. But of course, the guy that plays the sample pad is still there,
okay,
as well as their DJ. So I don't know if they're making the right fiscal decisions.
Do you think there was a point when ska music started to become less popular, maybe like bands that were more popular ska bands? Clearly, like, there was a point when there was an obvious point that their popularity was waning.
Right.
They had to start letting people go, like the guy that danced.
Yeah,
they had to get rid of one of the trombone players. They had to really get lean and mean in like the new economy.
Kind of. Lean and mean. Dude, the market crashed. When the market crashed in the 2007.
There were so many ska layoffs.
So many ska layoffs, dude. Real Big Fish only has three people playing trumpet now, dude. It's very lean and mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, you would think that Slipknot would have gotten rid of at least the guy. Okay, the most useless member of Slipknot, I'm going to go on record here, is the guy that used to wear like the bike, like the motorcycle helmet with the nails sticking out of it, that literally just played a sample pad.
Okay.
I'm like, you have a DJ and a guy that plays a sample pad, you would think that that could be combined into one.
Yeah.
And he's just useless, dude. Lame mask, lame instrument, you're lame.
Yeah.
But Slipknot, they have vinyl, and I saw it on Amazon on sale for $12, and I'm like, you know what? Add to my wish list.
Did you put it on there?
I put it in my wish list.
Okay.
So, first album, guys, $12 on Amazon. Go ahead and check it out right now. This is my recommendation for the week.
Is this our sponsor?
Yeah, I'm Slipknot. Sponsored by Slipknot. I'm going to go on record and tell you how useless one of the members is. And then, you know, Max Weinberg from, you know, Conan's band and the E Street band.
Yeah.
His son is the new drummer of Slipknot.
Is that true?
Yes.
Really? Okay.
So, fun fact for you.
I'd like to ask Max Weinberg about
Slipknot. I'm sure Max Weinberg's probably seen Slipknot a million times now. I'm sure he probably comes out to every show.
Like a dad? Like,
yeah.
Because he looks like a dad anyways. Just a proud dad going out to see Slipknot play. He's like, well, I can't do Slipknot's playing tonight.
Yeah, Slipknot's playing. I better put on my favorite beret and go out and see my son play. What if he wears a mask too, like just his son's mask?
Or he's like, I don't want anybody to recognize me. I'm Max Weinberg.
I'm Max Weinberg. You know me as the leader of Conan's band for years. And I've been playing second fiddle to little Jimmy, whatever, the pirate guy from the E Street band.
Oh, little Stevie.
Little Stevie. Yeah. What's his name? Van Zandt?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Same last name as the guy from Skinner, dude.
They're related. They're brothers.
Yeah, what if that was it? There's Lonnie, there's Donnie, or Ronnie, Donnie, and now there's little Stevie. What a musically talented family.
Well, every year on New Year's Day, like they've been doing this for like 15 years in Louisville, there's a Texas songwriter, Towns Van Zandt, and they did the Towns Van Zandt tribute show, and we had a drummer one year that asked me if he was related to Ronnie Van Zandt, and we were like, yeah, he sure is. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Like, tell people stuff that you never follow back up on and be like, I was just joking.
Yeah,
you know, just let it ride.
He's probably for years thought that. He's probably like, you know, Towns Van Zandt's related to Donnie, right? And Ronnie.
He was really devastated about the plane crash.
Yeah, dude, he's been, that's why we're holding the show, dude.
Yeah,
so it's
and on that theme, Skinner Behind the Music was probably my all-time favorite Behind the Music.
You know, I actually had a big shout out to Rob from Moonwalker, but my friend Rob that was on here, his dad went to high school with the dudes in Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
He like graduated the same year from the same school in Jacksonville, Florida, or wherever it is in Florida. And he had Lynyrd Skynyrd as a gym teacher.
Yeah.
So I got a secondhand account. He's just like, yeah, he said it was cool. And I'm like, yep, bet it was. On to the next.
Well, my dad in the mid-90s, WQMF in Louisville advertised that Lynyrd Skynyrd was going to reunite in Louisville on April 1st, some point in the mid-90s, and pumped this up on the radio station. And then they had a show at Coyotes, and Lynyrd Skynyrd came out and introduced a Lynyrd Skynyrd cover band. So there's all these like super drunk, redneck, like Southern rock fans, and my dad told me that it started just raining glass, like, and the people were just throwing beer bottles at the band and like breaking glass, like on the fucking ceiling and stuff. And he told me it was scary. He's like, dude, it's got fucked up. And he left the,
was
the
it an April Fool's Day joke?
Yes,
I guess
it was. Yeah. They played April Fool's Day joke on these dumb fuck.
You picked the wrong motherfuckers to play this joke.
Right.
On.
Yeah.
That's for sure. It's like that scene in Great Balls of Fire where like he's playing the wherever they're playing the when they're behind the chicken wire and stuff.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Like bottles and stuff are just getting thrown at him.
Yep,
dude, Great Balls of Fire, awesome movie.
Yeah,
see this hand. Makes $5,000 a night. See this one? It does too. $10,000 I have made. I shine like gold when I play that piano. Awesome performance. Dennis Quaid, Winona Ryder, Alec Baldwin. Guys, check it out. Great Balls of Fire. Second recommendation of the podcast. But yeah, we've been chatting about all kinds of stuff, but you're here to chat about, Nick, one of the main reasons why you're here is chat about the fact that All Damn Day is being released right now. New album coming out.
Yep.
What's the official release date?
October 26th.
October 26th. Just on the horizon, people. Yeah, tell me about All Damn Day, because we didn't really talk about it last time. You know, obviously too much. We were just kind of reconnecting and talking about your stuff here. But you got a new album out. Give the listeners some background deets on it.
Yeah, it's full-length and... We haven't released a full length since early 2017, so it's like overdue. But we tracked an indie. It took like about 8 or 9 months of tracking and working on it to get done, and it's because we kind of wanted things a certain way, and we were working with two producers on it, and we were touring through the time too, so that kind of hampered things a little bit. But it's the most like polished record I've ever made for sure. Yeah.
Well, I'm excited to hear it.
Well, thank you, Sean. I'll send it to you.
Oh, perfect.
I'll Gmail it to you.
Dude, perfect. Do you have vinyl on this, right?
Yes. Yeah, the last one too.
Yeah, well, I'm going to have to pick up a couple copies, man, and put it right next to my Slipknot, dude. Sawdusters and Slipknot alphabetically will be...
Do you have two turntables or one turntable?
Yeah, I'm going to put the first album on one turntable. I'm going to put your latest album on the second one, and I'm just going to be...
Yeah.
I'm going to be the next DJ Lethal.
Yeah. Good thing you remembered it.
Yeah, exactly. DJ Shadow.
Yeah.
Who's DJ Shadow? Certainly he did for somebody else. That's got to be a DJ.
That is a real... I'll get back to you on this.
Fun fact, the DJ from Slipknot's name is... His DJ name is DJ Starscream. It's a Transformers reference. But I remembered that because I have an uncle that's really into Transformers. And he thought that was awesome.
I think DJ Shadow... He's just his own dude. He's just
DJ
his own
Shadow. Thing. His name is just DJ. Like DJ Tanner.
Yeah.
DJ Tanner, not an actual DJ yet, though I'm sure somebody has ironically named their thing DJ Tanner.
Yeah, so DJ Shadow is like a legit dude.
Mm, like Katie Lang.
Yeah.
DJ Shadow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, is DJ Shadow going to be on your new record or... How many turntablists did you have on the record, Nick?
None.
In that 8 or 9 months it took to track this, you didn't bother to do some have a programmer and a turntablist?
No, I didn't. No.
Well, maybe next record.
Maybe.
So this album is coming out on Eastwood Records.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Excellent, dude. Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to check it out. Let's give everybody a listen. So okay. You have prepared a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And you got a brand new single. I like that you looked over at your guitar that you brought in.
I have to think about this shit all the time.
No, you don't have to play your guitar. I'll just drop it in and post, dude. Unless you want to play it. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. We'll see how it goes later, man. Maybe we'll record something, drop it in. But you got a new single. Tell everybody about it.
Love Me Like You Did. And there's a video. I guess it's coming out today. The day that this podcast is released.
Yeah, we're all over the timeline here. But yes, today, guys. Love Me Like You Did.
Yeah, and we shot it at in Somerset, Kentucky at Jarfly Brewing. And when we did, it was like 15 degrees outside. And it was a brewery. And we were going to shoot on the second floor, but the third floor looked a lot better. So I made everybody lug the stuff up to the third floor. And we shot it. I don't think you can see our breath in the video, but it was 20 degrees. We were up there for a couple hours.
When did you shoot it?
Last January. Like January 6th of 2018.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you did it in the this has been in the can for a while.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, and you did it in
Somerset, Kentucky. There's a festival there called Master Musician and some of the people involved with the fest, they do other stuff like affiliated with the brewery, and then there's our friend Nathan Isaacs who does a lot of our graphic stuff and did like that cover art, and he also shot a video, and He handles a lot of like social media stuff for Wes and Eastwood, and I kind of hooked those two up together. But he made the video, but it's just a performance video, nothing, not story driven video.
Gotcha. Yeah, and you decided to do it in the dead of winter, you know, because you know what? There's nothing that bugs me more, little OT. But there's one thing that I see like in new television shows on Netflix, and it drives me insane. I cannot stand when they CG people's cold breath or steam or smoke off of a cigarette. It drives me nuts.
Okay.
So I applaud you for your authenticity, man. Yeah. You're really out there. You really went method for this one.
We didn't want it to be that cold. That was not the plan.
That wasn't part of the story or anything?
No.
Uh-uh. No, it just is what it is, guys.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, you probably can relate to the cold weather because it's finally cold outside here. Welcome to October. But yeah, we're going to check out the new single. It's called Love Me Like You Did, and by Nick Dittmeyer and the Sawdusters. Check it out right now.
Summer lease yesterday, fresh coat of paint, but it wasn't the same. We're two skate kids with the nickel to a name. She don't love me like you did. She don't understand Towns Van Zandt, Shotgun Willie, your sweet revenge. She says she likes singers, thinks can't. She don't know me like you did. We don't ever have a knockdown fight about a TV show that we watched last night's 90s band. This sounded like she don't love me like you did. Love me like you did. Hope you laugh and shake your head. All the things I best remember are the ones that we forget. Love me like you did. Hope you'd say I lost my mind. We're hindsight is 20/20, but it's probably pitch black blind. Show. And I drink too much, but she don't know. Often I get drunk, she don't know I'm full of it. Never takes a night in. Always gotta meet up with the friends. Never sit on the porch and watch the street lights dim. She don't love me like you did. Love me like you did. Oh, you laugh and shake your head. We forget. Love me like you did. Oh, you say I lost my mind. We're hindsight is 20/20, but it's probably pitch black blind. Ones that we forget. Love me like you did. Oh, you'd say I lost my mind. We're hindsight is 20/20, but it's probably pitch black blind. Like depression or little feet. She only listens to the radio at half speed. She don't love me like you did.
All right, everybody. That was Nick Dittmeyer and the Sawdusters' new single, Love Me like you did off the brand new album, All Damn Day, which is going to be out October 26th.
Yep, 26th.
Nailed it, dude. Right off the top of my head.
They do them Fridays now. They used to do them.
Yeah, dude. I was thinking, when did they stop doing them on Tuesday?
Probably like 2 years ago, because it didn't make any sense, really, because I don't know why they originally did it on Tuesday, but I think they did it because people were buying downloads, you know, like iTunes and stuff like that, and they were getting paid and then would pre-order or whatever the hell, you know.
So. Well, you know, I released my podcast on Tuesday based off of that, like, oh, albums are released on Tuesday or like whatever, and I feel like Tuesday's a good day because when on Monday, you're just too fucking busy to even, like, you know, listen to a podcast or like go to, imagine going to Best Buy or wherever you go buy CDs or something on a Monday. Your schedule's probably jam-packed. Now Tuesday, not as busy.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy it throughout the rest of the week.
Yep.
Any day you want to. Friday seems like the same thing. You'd probably be so busy trying to get your smoke on and your drink on after work. You're probably hitting the door running, going down to that hideaway off the highway.
Yeah.
To boot, scoot, and boogie.
Right, and that too, yeah.
To buy a record. So that's why my podcast come out on Tuesday, but now records come out on Friday.
Yep.
And movies come out on Wednesday.
Is that true?
I don't know. Most of them do.
Oh, okay.
I think. Because they used to come out on Friday, and then it'd be like, oh, it's the midnight showing, and it comes out, you know, Tuesday at 10 o'clock, because they can't do midnight showings anymore.
Why?
I don't know. I think maybe it's probably a 1-2 punch of, like, I don't know, kids like wanting to see Marvel movies and Star Wars movies, and they probably have school. And then, you know, that whole thing about Aurora, Colorado, and that dude shooting up the theater.
Okay. I didn't know that was a midnight shooting.
It was, actually. It was like the shooting of, they shot during the Dark Knight Rises, I think, whenever that came out.
All right.
So you can't have anything good in America without somebody shooting it up.
Yep. Jason Aldean. Can't go to Jason Aldean concert.
Oh yeah, is that what happened in, is that who was playing in Vegas?
Yeah, it was a big fest. It was a lot of people, but I think it was during Jason Aldean's set that guy started shooting.
Did.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to make jokes about it, but if Jason Aldean was playing, I would probably just shoot myself and that'd be the end of it. And that's the worst joke probably ever said on the Sean versus Wild podcast. I'm just saying. Dude, bro country is the worst. Anything with like a guy in a shell necklace?
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
How many shell necklaces do you pack on tour? How many sleeveless t-shirts and shell necklaces do you wear?
None. Tour? I don't, but I get cold, you know.
I get cold.
I need sleeves.
I need sleeves, yeah. Otherwise, these magic fingers are just not going to be able to pluck a guitar.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I imagine so. I imagine it gets cold like in Colorado, but at least, you know, I did hear that like... in Colorado, you could just blow weed in a cop's face and tell him to suck your dick.
Yeah.
Like, nobody cares, you know?
I've heard that, too.
I've heard that, like, you know, it's just super laid back there.
It is, yeah. We were in Colorado back in June, and, I mean, it's... I mean, there's still weird weed stuff there, you know, in a sense, because I was in a dispensary, and they'll still sell you, like, a joint for $10 there. In the dispensary, you know, and there, you know, there's still people that sell weed, you know, outside the dispensaries and stuff too.
Here's my question. Cause I don't smoke weed and I don't know hardly, anything about it. So, but I'm surprised that companies don't just make like a pack of cigarettes, but they have weed in it. Is that a thing? Cause if not, it would be a genius idea.
I don't think so.
Are they selling hand rolled joints or like machine rolled? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like mass manufactured joints.
Yeah. I think, it's because maybe because people that smoke that much weed would use like a pipe or something.
I don't know.
All go J's on it, you know. It's gonna be kind of like a waste. I think.
About a spliff? Do they have packs of spliffs?
Well, when we were in Europe in Holland, they have. We were far enough away from Amsterdam at some of these shows that they didn't have the coffee shops, but we did go into one in Culemborg. And they said, because we asked if they had anything pre-rolled, and they had, they did, but they're like really fat, and they're half in tobacco, half pot, you know, gotcha. Which I don't dig that, but we, you know, I was going to prep to tell you the story. Oh, what was that?
You love the springs of the microphone.
Sorry, I don't know what to do with my hands, but, so we got to Belgium, and, we started playing shows in America on Thursday, like August 2nd. So we played three shows, drove back to Indiana, met up Monday, had, you know, Sunday afternoon off. Then we all met up Monday night, drove to New York City, got on an airplane. Then a lightning storm hit New York City when we were trying to take off. And so they delayed us for like 5 hours on the plane, like 300 people on this plane. So anyways, then we have a 6-hour drive. Then we have to take a train. We take a bus. Like this, basically, we've been up for 3 days. We've been on tour when it was all said and done, like 6 weeks. And so me and the guitar player were wired when we got like to our house in Belgium. And so we decided to walk to this bar in this town we were staying in. And so there was a few, it was like 1, 2 in the morning. There were a few straggling people hanging out at this bar. And we were like, hey, we're looking to find some weed. And, cause it's, they don't say, it's not in Belgium, it's not legal, but it's there. You just don't see any fucking cops anywhere. And so this guy goes, hey, he was a prison guard and his name was Mark. And he was like, yeah, I think I can help you. And, him and his wife went to their house at like 2 in the morning, stole, like a 1/2 ounce of weed from their 16-year-old son. They stole his grinder, his papers, like all of his stuff, brought it back to the bar and just gave it to us. But it was like the shittiest, like brown dirt weed, like high school kid weed. But they didn't steal it from him because they didn't want him smoking weed. But he like got a bad grade and they were like retaliating against him is why they stole like this dude's 1/2 ounce of weed and gave it to like fucking foreigners.
Cleaning up the streets.
Yeah. Yeah. So they didn't care. But yeah. So what we had to do is we had to, when we were in Holland, we had to get hash, which people sell that like everywhere, like a ball of hash. Some dude gave us a big ball of hash. And we like shaved off, we rolled joints and shaved off the hash and just mixed it in with like the shitty weed, basically. But we didn't go through it at all. We tried. We couldn't do it because it was almost like smoking a cigarette. It was so dry. You know, it like wasn't. It wasn't
the stickiest of the icky.
It was not, man. It was not. And so I was glad to get back in America. But we did hide a joint in the JFK airport in New York.
Oh, man.
our guitar player did, unprovoked by me. But he hid it in the budget rental car parking lot at JFK airport in New York. And then so when we got back in the U.S. 6 weeks later, we found it. The joint was in the wherever I don't even know where, honestly, because I was just trying to check the rental car back or to get a rental car there to get back home. And he came in and told me that he had found it, came back in the airport to tell me he'd found his weed, but it had gotten rained on. It was wet.
It
was pounding rain that day. So
it was too sticky. Yeah. First it was too dry. Now it's too wet.
Yeah, but then you don't
lose.
You don't want to smoke pot in a rental car, though, because you could get. You could get fined for like $250, you know, the $250 tacking on to the end of your rental, and it's not worth it because like, okay, so when we tour, we stay in hotels, but we are affiliated with this service, this guy who used to like work with stand-up comics, and he would get them like very discounted hotel rooms in exchange, you write social media reviews. And there's other bands that I know, friends of mine that use this guy. Because he found out, like, bands would actually cram into a hotel room. Like, 4 dudes
sure.
in a hotel room.
Done that. Been there, done that sure, many times.
We do it all the time. It's not bad, really. And so, you know, we're getting, like, you know, it's, like, $30 for, like, a, you know, a hotel room. It's nice, like, to be on tour and staying. So, the first time we ever did it with this guy, we'd gotten hooked up with him through our old booking agent. And so, we were doing these shows in Colorado and coming back into the Midwest to finish this tour up. So we had a show in Iowa and then we had like 2 days off in Iowa. So we get this hotel and we get there and there's like a 24-hour like convenience store in it. There's like where you can like heat up your own pizzas in this thing. And there's like a huge game room and all this kind of stuff. So like a huge pool, all like, we're like, wow, this is like, it was in Des Moines, Iowa. And we were like, this is really nice. Well, staying there, we figured out it was a trucker college. That was in the hotel was mainly a trucker college. These people would come stay in the trucker college, learn how to be a truck driver, whatever. So we were staying in the trucker college hotel. So when they're there, they get drug tested too, and they're not supposed to be drinking. So we had all this fucking weed from Colorado, everything. We had 2 days off in Iowa. So the four of us just laid up watching like this O.J. Simpson 7-hour documentary blasting. Fucking chronic stinky ass weed for 2 days in this hotel room. So we left and went to a grocery store, and the maids didn't know not to come and clean our room. So they came in and saw all this weed and like, I think they smelled it probably from the outside. I mean, we were just passing a bowl around for, I'm telling you, solid 48 hours in an enclosed space. So we get to Chicago after playing Des Moines, and I get a call from the guy that was that booked the hotel rooms, and he just fucking lost it on me. He was like, "This is my living. This is my livelihood. Like, you dumb motherfuckers," like all this kind of stuff. And they had to clean the carpets and the curtains, and like, you're lucky they don't charge your credit card for all this stuff. And but they would have, but they lost apparently they lost the information. They were going to charge like $500. So I learned the hard way not to get stoned in
Des Moines, Iowa.
Well, in any hotel. I can't do it anymore. But yeah, so they probably thought a trucker was smoking weed during his college, and it was not supposed to be. So, but we were cut off from Adam, that guy, for a while, and then I, like, 6 months later, like, apologized and was like, you know, I'll never let this happen
again. Yeah. Dude, I heard that, you know, my cousin Timmy got a full ride scholarship to Trucker College.
Did he really? No.
Oh, okay. Could you imagine that? Be like, oh, yeah, I'm going to the Trucker College.
Mid-American Trucker College.
Yeah, dude, it's the Ivy League. It's the big deal. We're so proud.
Yeah.
So, yeah, dude, I'm surprised Slipknot didn't stay at that same hotel, dude, being from Des Moines, Iowa.
Yeah. Were they from Des Moines? Is that where they're from? I know they're from Iowa. There's not that many big cities.
Where else could you be from? I'm from Des Moines, or I'm from some other place not on the map. Probably.
World's largest truck stop is in Iowa also.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe that's why the Trucker College is there.
I-80, Interstate 80 truck stop. It has a Taco Bell in it.
One time I stopped at a truck stop on tour, and, you know, I mean, there's truck stops all over the place, obviously, and, you know, you can get, you know, gas, and there's like a restaurant in it and what have you. But this one had a game room. And okay. I'm like,
was it in Illinois maybe or something?
No, this is, dude, there's a lot of truck stops that have game rooms, but this one, like,
so it wasn't like video poker or something like that.
Yeah, it was.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Right. Like video poker, and like you can gamble or whatever it is, you know, it's like a game room. And, it's like in Southern Kentucky, I think, maybe, or Tennessee. But yeah, like we're going back there and we're just like hanging out and playing some games or whatever. And the lady's like, whoa, what are you guys doing in here? We're like, I don't know, just taking advantage of these games.
Were you just like sitting on the couches back there and stuff too?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is, we were just hanging out. I mean, we were getting gas, you know, like some of us were eating, you know, you use the bathroom, you get energy drinks, whatever. Just kind of explore what small window of opportunity that you get to like check out of town. So we're in the game room, we're just playing some games. And the lady's like, whoa, what are you guys doing back here? And I was like, we're just playing these games. Like, no, you got to have a CDL to play these.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, shit, I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't take showers there either unless you have a CDL, like at a Love's or Pilot or whatever.
I've definitely taken some showers at truck stops, they've not carded me for my CDL.
Well, I took one at a... Yeah, well, I'm wrong. I thought you had to have a CDL to take a shower at like Love's, but I took a shower in Oklahoma in a Cherokee Nation sanctioned bingo like gaming center / Indian buffet.
Perfect.
So we ate Indian buffet, took showers. It was only like $7, you know, to take a shower in Oklahoma at this. But it's weird. There's something weird about getting naked in the gas station. Did you feel that way?
Yeah,
too?
Exactly.
Like, I could just walk out. Like, or somebody could just open the door.
Yeah,
walk in.
At any time.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a prison type thing. We're like, dude, some big trucker could walk right in here while I'm in the middle of showering and ruin my day.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Ruin my next 3 to 5 days, really, but probably.
I used to always be terrified, though, of the prospect of taking a shower in a truck stop. But then if you're, like, just tired and feel like shit and, like, dirty, you're like, I don't even give a fuck anymore.
Yeah, you stop caring.
Yeah.
Completely. When you said you had an Indian buffet and it's in the middle of Oklahoma, do you mean a Native American buffet?
It was an Indian buffet, like the country India. I never thought about this.
Smack dab in the plains.
In the Choctaw. It was in the Choctaw Nation, and it's this whole other country. And
it's this whole other country.
And part of it was like a mini casino, and then there was a gas station attached to it with a Indian buffet. That Native American, just to clarify, Native American casino, India
buffet.
Yeah.
Both types are represented. Both types of Indians are represented right here in this little community in the plains of Oklahoma.
The Indian people, though, would you be kind of mad at the Native Americans?
Well, I am Native American, so I don't necessarily know what to say about it.
Okay.
I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't want to sound biased.
Yeah.
You know? I'm Native American in like the way that people hate it. They're like, you know, I've literally had people tell me, my friends and stuff, they're like, yeah, dude, it's cool. All white people say they're Native American. Mm-hmm. But if you did look at a picture of my grandmother, she's definitely a Native American. So, I mean, it just is what it is.
Yeah.
All I have to do is be out in the sun for one day and get tan. Well, I mean, you see my cousin Ryan, for example, tan, black hair.
Yeah.
Brown eyes, just tall, like whatever. I mean, he's got all the features. I don't.
Yeah.
But put me out in the sun one day, you'll see my Native Americanness.
Okay. So. I actually never knew this about you.
Yeah, dude. Believe it or not, man. You didn't notice how much I love to sleep outside in a tent? Just kidding. Really? Is that where we're going here on the podcast? Real. Anyway, so an Indian buffet and a Native American casino. Win-win. Excellent. What other... So you guys have a tour coming up. I meant to ask you, too, just how awesome was Europe? How did you love touring Europe just in general?
It was cool, man. It's been a big shock coming back.
What was the reception like over there?
It was really good. Even like Mondays and Tuesdays were good shows. But like I said, it's been a real shock coming back. I mean, so the weekend I got back, I was not supposed to play, and I got offered this just solo gig at this distillery in Brown County, Indiana. And I got there and was like loading my stuff in and everything. And the guy that booked the show was like helping me, and he's like, anything you need, man, let me know, anything you need at all. I was like, it was at a brewery, distillery place. I was like, can I get a beer? He's like, no, we can't give people beers here. And I was like, I mean, there was just beer everywhere, like everywhere you, like if you were waiting around just to sound check, like they would bring you sandwiches or something.
Right.
You know? But so, then I see the dude walking down the hill with two pints of beer. And I'm thinking, okay, this guy got sane. And he sits on at a chair and just starts drinking both the beers. It's just, they just have, I think there's underlying economic things about this, but there's just a bigger attention span. You know, like if you've ever played a show in the States and you can kind of feel the audience losing interest, or like maybe people start to kind of leave early. That doesn't really I didn't experience that there. Like when the people were there, like they're there for the duration of the show kind of thing.
Well, that's good, because you know, it got to the point where we were just like playing 25 minute sets. Like, we need you to play 45 minutes. I'm like, we're going to play 30 minute sets, you know, or something like that.
Okay.
Basically, like when we were touring, we got to the point where it's like, all right, we're going to play like six songs. That's going to be it.
Why was that?
Attention span, dude. The audience, leave them wanting more, I guess is what they say. But I have, you know, honestly though, I have played with bands. I'm sure you have toured and played with bands that just play entirely too long.
Oh, I've never done that on purpose. Like, or
no, I'm saying, like, have you ever played with a band or like toured with a band or played a show and like, some band is playing entirely too long?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
True story. Okay. I will not mention the name of the band, but, so we were playing this show and it's like their album release show. And for some reason, this is like in middle of Ohio. They book us to play it. And, so instead of them going on last for their album release show, they're like, well, you guys are, really popular here. You'll go on last. You'll go on after us. So we're like, okay. And they're like, yeah, it's our show. So, you know, we'll have you, we want to play on this in this time slot. So we're like, okay, sure. No problem. Dude, they played for like an hour and a half, including covers. And they did like five covers of Newfound Glory covers. Like, you know how Newfound Glory has like the albums where they cover the songs from the movies?
I'm not familiar with that, but I know the nature of what you're talking
about.
So
Newfound Glory has two albums where they called From the Screen to Your Stereo, where they cover songs from movies.
Oh,
right?
Like John Hughes movies or...
Yeah,
or,
so like okay, they'll do like... they did like The Goonies Are Good Enough, or they did like Glory of Love from Karate Kid 2.
Okay. Anyway, I know what you're talking about.
Okay. So they did their cover of Newfound Glory's arrangement of a cover song, but they did like five of them. And literally by the end of it, nobody was there. And the sound guy's like, yeah, you guys got like 10 minutes. And we're like, okay. And
why 10 minutes? Like, what was the...
Because the other one ran so heavy, like ran so long or whatever. Like the band that had their album release show ran so long. And it was just like one of those things where like, dude, the time has come. You need to wrap this up. And then they played twice as long. And then by the time we got there, it was like 10 minutes.
That's
and the
shitty.
Sound guy's like... man, I'll give you like two songs. And then the sound guy loved us so much, they were like, just play your set.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, we'll do.
Was there anyone there for the...
Yeah, there were some people still hanging around.
Yeah.
You know, but that's the classic scenario. Sometimes you have those moments where you just really need to choose what you're doing here, because there are times when people can play entirely too long and totally check out.
Yeah. So I have to be an asshole about that kind of stuff, though, just making sure everyone's clear on that, you know, set times and things like that. It just... Because there's a lot of sound guys that just won't step in and do anything about it, you know.
I mean, I love it when you talk to a sound guy. I'm just going to alienate every sound guy that's like listening to this. But, you know, you're a singer, too. So, but I've noticed, too, it's like, you ever notice when a sound guy's like, hey, can you turn up my vocals? And they're like, yeah. Or they'll just be like, oh, it's up as far as it'll go. I'm like, I genuinely don't think it is. I genuinely think that you're just being a jerk.
There are, I mean, it's kind of, you know, you still deal with some jerk sound guys, and one's eyes are all bass players. Like, God, I was like, why are there so many dickhead sound guys? And he was like, that's all they got.
Yeah, that's true. All they got. All they have is the authority and the power.
Right. Just for that little bit of sound check. But once the doors open or the show starts and if people show up, then their power goes down real fast.
Yeah.
And then the show's over and they're back to... fucking smoking Winston's.
Or break you.
Yeah. But it's that little window of their life that they actually do have to impose power on you. And if nobody shows up, then their power goes up, if you think about it.
Dude, one time I played a show at Skull Alley, and you know, I wear glasses, and so and I also played drums barefoot. So what I would do is I would, like, you know, take my shoes off. I would put things, like, if I had change or keys or something in my pocket, my wallet, whatever, my glasses, put them in my shoes, just like, so that way everything's all together and it's right there on the side of the stage, whatever. Sound guy came over in this venue and literally comes across the drum kit and just like stomps on my shoes or whatever to, I don't know, do what he had to do, plug in a speaker, unplug a speaker, whatever. Dude smashes my glasses. And I was like, dude, you smashed my glasses, bro. You know, or whatever it was that I said. And he was just like, sorry, man, I'm just doing my job. You know, whatever. And then just walked off. And then didn't, like, apologize. Never paid for my glasses. Sound guy, if you're out there, I owe you a punch to the snoogin.
I wonder who it was.
I don't know.
I barely remember that place because it was a venue after that. But, man, I've had some really strange sound guys, and man, I'll tell you, this one we had, man, it was this guy in Chicago. We played this show, and he had this strange configuration of all this stuff, and then it was a really bad show, and then after the show, he was like coked. He's this coked out middle aged guy with like cuts all over his face, like somebody beat him up, and he like wanted to jam. He's
great.
Oh, guys, let's jam. And we were like, dude, no, we're not jamming right now. And he had a big cut on his mouth. And our bass player was like, hey, man, what? He's like, he was a really dry dude. He's like, what happened to your face, man? What happened to your mouth? He goes, you know how I cut my face? He's like, eating pussy.
Oh, my God.
And then, like, deadpan, our bass player goes, did she, like, have jewels on it or something?
Jewels. Vajazzled or whatever. Did she have jewels on it? You know who'd be a great person to tour with?
Who's that?
Josh Enzer, dude. He's got a CDL. We could go to any arcade that we ever wanted to. Any trucker stops. We can play all the video poker we want, dude. Take all the showers.
Or you could just drive a tour bus.
He could drive the bus.
Yeah.
I have to mention this on the podcast just because it's one of those things, man. Destiny brought us together because... you're at Cluckers and I'm at Cluckers and we're just gonna sit down and, you know, have some food and have some water and just chat, and lo and behold, it's a little Blood Drive reunion because Josh Enzer's there too, even though I never played in Blood Drive at the same time Josh Enzer did.
Yeah,
so little reunion there. And then the fact that he told us, he's like, hey guys, I got my CDL, I'm driving a bus now. He would be perfect. He'd just knock it right out of the park in tour life.
Yeah,
congratulations to Josh out there making moves. But yeah, we'll need you, buddy. We'll need you as a bus driver and to get us into all the video poker. When the Sean versus Wild Sawdusters tour comes to, like, a city near you.
We have a wraparound bus.
Yeah, exactly. We'll have a double-decker bus.
Okay.
You'll be on one level. I'll be on the other. So yeah. But yeah, Nick, so you got the album that's it's coming out on October 26th, all damn day. And of course, we just heard the new single, Love Me Like You Did. Now, you have an album release show.
Correct.
Coming up. What are the deets on that for listeners out there?
It's Friday, October 26th at Odeon in Louisville. And it's going to be us and our friend Britt Mathis is opening the show. And tickets are on sale now for $10. They're $15 at the door. So I would advise one to get the advance because save a lot of money.
Hey, man, how does one get a press pass for that? Just contact the
What audio. Do you want, Sean?
What are you trying to get at here, buddy?
I got a guy. I mean, we played Nashville on Thursday at the Five Spot, and so we have for on the release we have a publicist, and we have, you know, people working on the release, but I have friends that are in the music business that were coming out to see the show. And so one of the main draws on the show, she got sick and couldn't play. So we dropped the cover just to $5. And these, like a lot of these people were still trying to get listed with even a $5 cover. And I was like, you motherfuckers, like it's $5. You, what the fuck, how can I make this any cheaper?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You can't.
You can't.
Just make it free at that point.
Right, exactly. We're just trying to cover costs here, guys.
Right. Yeah, but that's, I know people complain about that stuff, but I think shows should be a minimum. I'm talking like a bare minimum of $10, you know, because just how much of a beer cost, you know, for a drink, you know, it's, people get weird about that stuff. And I don't know why.
You know what's weird is I feel like, so because towards the end of our, towards the end of my musical run and now even going into the podcast stuff, because a lot of times I'll sponsor shows, I'll set up a merch booth, you know, promote my stuff. Like I've realized that like I've been living so into like, I've been living so much into like, say the 2003, 2004, 2005, like price point, mm-hmm. where t-shirts are $10 and shows are $5 or whatever. It's like, dude, it's 2018. People can't make money.
There's no conceivable way on a $5 cover you can, because you got to think about it. I mean, if I'm going to break this down a little bit, like hypothetically, if you were the only band to get paid on a show and you bring 100 people in at a $5 cover, that's five. And there's no sound fee. There's no room fee. There's nothing. So you got $500. There's four people in your band. You were to pay every member of your band $100. But then you would have to do Facebook ads, any posters, your time booking the show or promoting the show is put into that. It's like, and there's only so many days a week you can work. You know, I mean, you can't, you know, if you're bringing in 100 people, there's only so many days of the week you're probably going to bring in 100 people.
Right, yeah. Friday or Saturday.
So you're only, at your peak night, you're only making $100. It's like there's, that doesn't include gas. That doesn't include like putting money back for anything. It doesn't include any money for merch. Like it includes nothing, really. It's, you know, even $500 is not that much, but to just have a $5 cover, it's just like Spotify Premium. You know, is like what, like $12 a month or something. I mean, it's just too cheap for, you know, anything like Steve Jordan, like the legendary drummer, like kind of went on a rant about this on a podcast I was listening to. He was like, it would be like if Whole Foods gave you all the free food you could eat for $10 a month. You know, like my point is that for what you get, it's too cheap. Like I think Netflix is too inexpensive. I mean, really, for all the streaming, like it is what, like $8, $10 or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
Like all the prices of that have gone, like you get, like I get Spotify royalties, I get royalties, but it's not enough yet. You know, for what people get, it's just too inexpensive.
Yeah. I listened to a podcast with like Gene Simmons or somebody like that, you know, somebody that's like obviously like someone that is hardcore into, you know, making money. That's his.
Oh, he's a money hungry dude. That's his whole thing. Yeah,
that's his whole thing. He just chases after money, but he was saying that I guess his daughter is like a singer or has starting a musical career.
Okay,
and he said that something like she had like four, I don't know, so many million or X amount of millions of dollars in streams or whatever, or not millions of dollars in streams, X amount of millions of streams on Spotify, mm-hmm. and got a check for like $300. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, yeah, this is the state of music right now. You know, you could have, you know, 40 million people listening to your album and get a check for $300.
Yeah, it balances out. The way I understand it, it's you get $10,000 for every million plays you get. So that's not horrible, you know, or anything like that. And it is better than it has been. But my problem with, you know, the Music Modernization Act was signed by Trump this week, which is a positive thing. But at the same time, during all that, when it all started, Spotify and Pandora and these companies were lobbying Congress to actually pay less than they currently were. You know, like, that's my issue with it, where these companies are still losing money as far as I understand, you know, but it's like, people, I don't know, without sounding bitter or being like, I just need to make more money, you know, kind of thing. It's like, I really think there's a practical reason, a practical application for the price of those things being a little more expensive. And people just are under the assumption that it's going to be free or it's going to be at a very reduced cost.
Yeah.
You know, and they're not wrong. I mean, it's happening. I mean, you know, so.
I mean, the thing is, though, I think what they're competing with is downloads, like illegal downloads. I think that's probably what Spotify and all these people, like Netflix even.
But they were eviscerated that, if you think about that. I'm just
thinking maybe that's why they're like, well, we can't charge too much because if we do, people will just download it illegally off the internet.
Yeah, but people's streaming appetite is so big. I don't know if it could keep up with illegal downloads.
Yeah. I wonder too, because Spotify, you know, Spotify is like a place where I find a lot of albums and stuff like that I like. I have Spotify Premium.
Yeah.
And I will listen to them. But what I like to do is, and maybe that's the old man in me now, is if I find an album that I like or a band that I like to buy their album on vinyl. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because that's basically how I listen to music now that I'm 32 years old. And the fact that CDs, you know, you can't go out and buy a CD anymore. But I don't like to listen to albums digitally so much, you know what I'm saying? Like, other than I'll just stream it on my phone. So I wonder, though, like, with a platform like Spotify, how that translates into album sales. Like, how many times, say you listen to an artist, how many times you paying $10 to Spotify to listen to an artist stream turns into that artist is also making a cut because you bought their album?
Well, they don't have to buy the album. If two things happen, you're getting paid off the royalty stream. That's the easy fix, because I think Spotify is an awesome interface. I think it's a good site. And then also bands can advertise their tour dates on that too. So we've had people, you know, consider my people come to discover our music through Spotify. Like, we had a song that was on like an official playlist and stuff, and that got a lot of streams. And then, so it doesn't necessarily have to be one or the other, you know. That's, you know, I think there is a positivity about consumers are given the choices to listen to music the way they want. If you're really into vinyl, we have the vinyl. If you just want to buy a vinyl as a souvenir, there are people that have bought vinyl or they're like, I don't have a record player, but this looks cool. You know, like,
yeah,
they would, and they want to get something from the show or whatever. And then, you know, you'll have your, dude, we sell CDs still, actually. I don't know if it's because we can wrangle up some older people too. In Europe, we definitely sold a lot of CDs. But I mean, I'm not going to go out and buy a CD. I'm sorry to say it, but it's just, I just don't.
I mean, there's not even any, I mean, besides like Walmart or Best Buy or like Meijer, they have like 5 CDs.
Yeah.
It's not a place to really go out and buy one and find new music.
Yeah. And those CDs are probably just going to be like greatest hits, you know, of Aerosmith or Tom Petty.
It's
going to
be those like 21st century collection or whatever, you know, the ones they all have like the black and white photos and it's just like the best of, or the Millennium collection or whatever those are.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know what? Here's my idea. Just have a link on Spotify to buy the album and you'll be able to directly see how much your stream correlates to album sales.
Yeah.
It is what it is, guys.
It is what
Spotify, if you're listening, which I'm sure you are, go ahead and take that idea. Yeah. Just put a link to say, here, you can buy the album. Maybe hook up with iTunes or somebody else. I don't know. You're probably in competition with Apple Music, so don't hook up with iTunes. Yeah, but hook up with Amazon. Or
they'll destroy you.
Amazon, Amazon Music. Just send a link to sell the shit, and then we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
You know?
Can you not do that? Is it?
I don't think so.
I should know this information.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
Well, I mean, you can buy merch. They have links to merch and stuff sometimes.
Yeah.
I see it. And links to tour stuff, but yeah.
Yeah, but you can't list, to my knowledge, you can't list every tour date. It's based on the most recent one, and I think based, I don't know. I don't know how it all works.
Yeah.
They got some man in the computer out there.
Brother, that's how it works, man. I don't know if you got my audition tape or not, brother.
Yeah.
But yeah, listeners, if you know how it is, if you know how all that works, why don't you just hit me up, Sean versus Wild, on Facebook or Twitter, whatever, tweet at me. and let me know about it. But before we go, man, before we ride off into the sunset here, as we are winding down, I do have to ask you to relay to me some of your best Gatlinburg stories.
Oh, okay. I'll tell the story. And if there's anyone listening, I don't know if because, okay, so there was a place in Gatlinburg that we would play, of all places, and it was called Sureland Shine, and it was on like just the main drag. And dude, I don't know who invested in this thing or who the investors were, but they had more money than God. And basically, it was this really campy tourist moonshine place, and they would do free tastings. Like, people would do shots of moonshine, and they would, like, you had to do X amount of tastings, and these tourists would come in. And then you went out back, and they had this large heated patio with a stage and sound and all, and like chairs to sit in and stuff. And basically, they only wanted you to play for 30 minutes at a time. You did like 3 30-minute sets or something like that, because they wanted – it was like Vegas or something. Like, they didn't want people to stay around. They wanted people to do that, buy this overpriced moonshine, watch a little music, and get out. So, like, you would play 30 minutes, take a break, sell some shit, you know, whatever. But there was like a Walgreens next door to it, and we would like us like bring our own beer on stage and stuff. So we, on top of that, you get free moonshine, which we measured by volume was like more expensive than Maker's Mark, like this stuff.
Right.
There are several jars. It was so bad. I'll say this now, because I don't think the Sugarland Shine people are tuning in, but it was horrible. Like, even like the most basic flavors, like, you would just be like, I could mix this with, like, they, so there might be 3 jars of this stuff on my fridge at this point. And I don't think I ever had a bandmate that finished them either, because either they were like super syrupy or tasted like just like corn, like this weird corny ass fucking taste. And like, so they would pay you well, then they would put you up in a hotel, they would like get you dinner, they would like to get drink, like all this stuff. And I was like, you play places, sometimes you're like, this is not going to last. Like, I'm going to be nice in this moment, but this is not, you know. But eventually they did, to my knowledge, take this, because every band in our genre, even bigger, way bigger bands, would play this stop, because they would do music like Wednesday through Sunday. So like, people would just go there and play, like, and you're close to Knoxville or Asheville or all kinds of other. It was just so centrally located for so many bands. And I'd heard that they tore the stage out, like The Blob and Heavyweights or something.
Oh, man.
Like, they pierced it.
Pop The Blob.
Like, but to my knowledge, I mean, on my breaks and stuff, I remember the last time I played there was like in October, or no, it was but in November of like 2 years ago. And I remember walking in the street like on our break, and Trump had just been elected, and I was like, we didn't stand a chance, man. Like, we didn't stand a fucking chance. Like, and yeah, man, Gatlinburg. So we would like walk around to see where, you know, the beef jerky outlets or like the world's largest.
Go to Ripley's, believe it or not.
Yeah, Ripley's, believe it or not. Like, world's largest knife store or something like that. Whatever. You know?
Did you ever go to Dollywood?
I didn't. No, we never have time to do anything. I did. I went to Gatlinburg as a kid, and it's pretty much, there's a Bubba Gump shrimp company there.
Oh, man. We had a conversation about that via text.
Yes, because, man, I don't know how long an individual could last working there. Because you got to think, like, every person that comes in there to eat is going to do, like, a million fucking
Forrest Gump references.
Oh, yeah, everything. Maybe order in just a full-on Forrest Gump voice.
Yeah. They're probably like, what do you got? Shrimp stew, shrimp burger, Cajun shrimp kebabs, you know.
Yeah. I bet there's got to be a high suicide rate, man, among people that stay there for 6 months or longer.
We'll have to check the numbers on that.
Yeah,
that's weird that Bubba Gump Shrimp Company is still a thing. Like, I feel like, I mean, Forrest Gump is a timeless movie, and maybe generations upon generations will just grow to love it. But the fact that, like, that movie came out in 1994, here we are 25 years later, and they still have Bubba Gump Shrimp Companies, and they haven't just, like, the novelty hasn't worn off.
But yeah, but think about the kind of people that are buying vacations, and buying vacations in Gatlinburg are people that are, like, our age or older, you know, yeah, that would have...
That's true.
You know, seen that movie.
Yeah, that's true. It's not like there's going to be a lot of young kids like, hey, you know, after school, you want to go to the Bubba Gump Shrimp Company? Lieutenant Dan invest our money in some sort of fruit company.
What do you think restaurant wise could be on the horizon from pop culture? Is there anything that...
Oh, man. That's a good question.
Because, well, can I, to follow this up, to make you think about this, because I was at the movies...
Current pop culture? Or just pop culture from, like...
Well, let me clarify this. Okay, because if you look at the what is showing in movie theaters now.
Sure.
Like, we, I mean, rarely will I ever see a movie that, you know, like, I'm going to go see that in theaters.
Right.
Because all this, it basically, it's like the, like all the superhero and superhero movies, Star Wars, things that really have saved people going to theaters. They haven't changed the making of movies, because now there's more independent movies. It's just in a different format. There's, you know, like a movie like a classic movie like Dog Day Afternoon, you wouldn't go see even in an independent theater anymore. Like, you mean, look at what Baxter has going on their thing. There's not that many independent movies in theaters anymore.
Right, yeah.
It's just, but so it's been saved basically by those blockbuster things. So that kind of does put a kind of a wrench in it, you know, maybe a little bit, because the types of movies that are just in theaters.
Well, also too, it's probably like one of those things. Well, if you watch those movies now, they're all so big budget. So you go see like Transformers 9, and instead of them having like a scene where they're in like a fake restaurant or something that you would make a restaurant about, they're probably like, I got to stop at KFC. And then they hold up a Pepsi, like, you know, into the camera, label out.
Do they really do that? I mean, watch those movies, but...
They're not that blatant, but yeah, they're all like heavily sponsored by you know... It's just like when you watch a music video now, everything's got Beats by Dre in it. Like, it's just like they're doing like sponsorship stuff all the time. You know what I'm saying? Yep. Where they're like product placement, I should say. They're doing it all the time.
Well, because if you think about this too, like with television, and it feels like all they're doing is remaking stuff. Like, they tried to do the Roseanne reboot. They've done Murphy Brown or
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace or any other kind of reboot or thing they're going to all the movies they or. Even stuff like, what's the, they're redoing Magnum P.I. now or something. Yeah. So it feels like all they're doing is remaking old television, but that they're just remaking old television for the type of people that watch network TV.
Yeah.
That this is on after like the Big Bang Theory or something.
And here's what they're really doing. I'm going to be honest with you. They're just remaking old television and making it shittier.
Well, yeah. Like, there's no need to I was talking with somebody about this the other day about the whole Roseanne reboot. Like, I was a big Roseanne fan, and even them doing the Connors thing. Like, why did they do that? Like, it was all about Roseanne, if you think about it, because it was about her getting back to being famous.
Right.
Or as famous as she was, because John Goodman had a really awesome career after that. The other chick is making like tons of money on Big Bang Theory. Lori Metcalf is like a really well-respected actress. Like,
yeah, and that one girl that played second Becky, she had a huge run on Scrubs.
Yeah. So DJ, he didn't do anything, but you know what I'm saying? Like,
he was living off his Roseanne money.
Yeah, and then he was. I felt the worst for him because he literally hasn't had nothing going on. But my point is that they're remaking that stuff for like a certain type of consumer, like one that doesn't want to see new stuff. You know, like, even when I wasn't going to watch Roseanne, even before it got canceled, I was like, I don't care.
Right, yeah.
You know? Like, people make a big deal that she was a Trump supporter, so I was like, I don't care, you know?
Yeah, I think what they're doing is the consumers right now are the kids that grew up in the consumer generation. Yeah, like, the people that are really consuming the most, you know, kids are people that are my age and your age. Dude, the nostalgia market is huge because, like, even for me, like, I collect a lot of the toys and stuff, or like the video games and stuff that I liked as a kid, read books that were popular when I was a kid, like watch a lot of the old shows and stuff like on Netflix or whatever. So the nostalgia market is huge right now. Like, all you have to do is go to a Comic-Con, for example, and see it. So maybe that's what they're trying to do, is just get people to like buy and consume stuff that's familiar to them.
Yeah, absolutely.
As opposed to trying to do anything new. But that's honestly, that's killing like movies, it's killing music, it's killing whatever. They just so many times people just rehash something, or they just like
there's no need to remake something like Ghostbusters. Like, in my opinion, there was
no need. Did you watch it?
No,
it's garbage, dude. And but, like, I'm not just saying that. I know like so many people were up in arms about it before it came out, or like as soon as it came out, people were like, I stand with the Ghostbusters or whatever. It's like, dude, it was a trash movie, and it's like, you don't need to remake everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do it because they don't have to buy the rights.
Yeah, exactly.
To it too. But I think though that people are watching a lot of new stuff, especially through like Netflix, Hulu, Amazon. But they're marketing an X amount of other things to people that just want to see stuff they're familiar with.
Yeah. You know, could you imagine how many millions of dollars, for example, I don't know how much money people get from Netflix, but like, imagine if a show like, say, Stranger Things, which is like a kid-friendly show, imagine if something like Stranger Things was on network TV. They'd probably draw in millions of dollars in advertising because of just straight up the amount of viewers that watch it, you know?
Maybe, but no, I don't think anybody really thought it was going to be as big as it was, man.
I don't know. We'll see. I don't know. We'll just see how this shit works out.
Yeah.
You know? I don't know what else to say. But yeah, big shout out to Josh Enzer getting a CDL, dude.
Yeah.
Making it happen. But yeah, guys... Man, we just went on that rant there towards the end. But that's all right. Guys, definitely check out All Damn Day. It's coming out October 26th. It's a Friday, and there's going to be a big album release show at the Odeon right here in Louisville to celebrate it, to commemorate it. So make sure you go out there, get a copy of the Sawdusters new record. You can get it on vinyl. You can get it on CD. You can get it wherever, you know, however you like it.
Yep.
So yeah. Nick, anything you have to say to our listeners before we... head off there and watch some VH1 made-for-TV movies?
No, I mean, I think we touched on a lot of stuff that we wanted to touch on and, you know, talked about problems of the modern world, but ultimately
we just complained about the
planet's getting incrementally hotter and we're all going to be burning to death once the planet is uninhabitable for humans within the next 10 years. So, and then after that, the sun will eventually explode and obliterate all of mankind.
So yeah, man, enjoy your Netflix.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. All we're saying here is, guys, Hulk Hogan could have been the bass player for Metallica.
Yep.
Exactly. And this has been the Sean vs. Wild podcast.
Thank you for listening, DNN.